This is a shelter in the time of storm, as that song sings for us. All right, Children's Church heading out the side door. The rest of us, let's take our Bibles, turn over 1 Samuel chapter numbers 27 is where we're going to be. If you need a Bible, our ushers have Bibles that you can use while you're here in the service. I'll give you a page number so you can find things real easy. And take that Bible, turn over to page 330, and you ought to find, 350, not 330, I'll get the right page number there, but you ought to find 1 Samuel chapter number 27 there, page 350, if you have one of the Bibles handed out to you. 1 Samuel chapter number 27. We looked at this passage last week, and I would have liked to really got through the whole chapter, but we didn't get past verse 1, and so we'll try to finish the rest of the chapter here today. If you're physically able to, can you stand for the reading here of God's Word? 1 Samuel 27, want to read this entire chapter, just 12 verses, follow along as I read. It says, "And David said in his heart, I shall not perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul said, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. David said unto Achish, if I have not found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there, for why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day, wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. In the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Gezerites and the Amalekites, for those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land, and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep, and the oxen, and the asses, and the camels, and the apparel, and returned, and came to Achish. And Achish said, whither have ye made a road today? And David said, against the south of Judah, and against the south of the Jeremelites, and against the south of the Kenites. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. And Achish believed David, saying, he hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. Therefore, he shall be my servant. Can we go into the first two verses of chapter number 28? First chapter 28 says this, and it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. And David said to Achish, surely thou shalt know that thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us to be able to glean, understand, Lord, just a really important lesson for us here today. Lord, in 2022, Lord, a lesson that we can learn from David some 3,000 years ago. Father, it's a lesson that almost, that unfortunately needs to be relearned often. Help us to see it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. Well, last Sunday, as we just started into this chapter and just really looked at verse number one, because verse number one showed us David down in the dumps. It showed us David in discouragement. He was in the slough of discouragement or slough of despond, as the Pilgrim's Progress would put it there. And David just was looking at things really a wrong way. And we saw in verse number one really four things. Number one, we saw that David had the wrong perspective. Well, verse 1 says, he said in his heart. His perspective was what he could see. His perspective is what he saw himself. He's talking to himself. And can I say, you know what? The thing that will get us out of despair best is to start talking to God, not start talking to ourselves. we start talking to ourselves, what do we see? Well, we see all the problems. We saw all the difficulties. We see all these things. And that's what David did. He saw things from the wrong perspective. And then secondly, we saw that he had the wrong reasoning. The wrong reasoning. He said, I shall not perish one day by the hand of Saul. That is, he thought, Saul's going to get me. I don't have any way about this. I don't have any way to get away from this. This is just my lot in life. Saul's going to finally get me there. No, no, no. God said that he was going to preserve you. God said that he was going to be the next king of Israel. And yet David has this wrong reasoning because he's speaking in his own heart. He's not giving his reasoning from God, if you will, there. And then we saw thirdly here in verse number one that he had the wrong outlook on things. He said, there is nothing better for me. Nothing better for me. That is, he realizes there's only two options, or at least he says to himself, there's only two options. Well, I can stay here and get killed by Saul, or I can go over to the Philistines, I could go over to King Achish, and I could try to throw myself there, and maybe they'll let me live, or something like that. He thinks there's only two options. Can I say this? With God, there's never just two options. God is the God of the impossible. And while we may not understand or realize how God could come up with another option, God always can. There's another way across the Red Sea than swimming. Well, God could just part it, couldn't he? Sure he can. And that would not be our normal thinking, but God can do it. And just understand, trust God. God should not be limited by our thinking there. And then we saw lastly that David had the wrong safety. Where did he flee for safety? He went to the enemy. He went to the Philistines for safety. The enemies of God, that's where he went. My friend, that's not where we ought to go for safety. And I know and I understand why David is doing these things and why he's saying these things. He's down in the dumps. He's really in this discouraging mindset about him and the things of which he's facing there. And I often understand that. And when we look through discouraging setup, when we see things that are discouraging, often we don't have the right thinking in our minds. And so I understand that. But David does what we would say would be the unthinkable here in this text. He looks for shelter. He looks for safety from the enemy. He goes over to the Philistines to find safety from Saul, not realizing this, not realizing what it would cost him. My friend, if you go to the wrong place, if you look to the wrong people for help, it's going to cost you a lot. I have to remind you really at the onset of the message, and it's certainly not original with me, but certainly it is very true. Someone once said, sin costs you more than you want to pay. It takes you further than you want to go, and it keeps you longer than you thought you'd ever stay. All those are present here in the life of David. He stays in the land of the Philistines. The Bible tells us here in verse number 7, he stays in the land of Philistines for 16 months, a year and 4 months. And it is in that time that David, in this lack of separation, in this going to the enemy, that he's going to end up seeing that a lack of separation will cost you much. Look at it again in verse number 1, 1 Samuel chapter number 27, where it says here, David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel, so shall I escape out of his hand. Now look at verse number 2. It says this, and David arose, and passed over. It's interesting the way the Bible phrases that. It's almost like David goes over the line. He passes over where he should be. He goes to a place that he shouldn't have gone. And David, as he begins to doubt the promises of God, then he begins to disobey the word of God. You say, what do you mean disobey the word of God? If we go back to chapter number 22, can you flip back there? Chapter number 22, 1 Samuel chapter number 22. And look at verse number 5, 1 Samuel 22 and verse number 5, where the Bible says this, and the prophet Gad said unto David, if you remember here in this text, David has gone to a cave to be able to hide out. He's gone over to Moab, really, to be able to hide out, and he's there. And the prophet Gad finds him, the Bible says. And Gad says to him, David, abide not in the hold. Get out of here. You're in the wrong spot. Now look what he tells him. Depart and get thee into the land of Judah. So then David departed and came into the forest of Herath. I'm just saying that God gives David a clear command. Here's David. David, here's where you ought to go. You need to go to Judah. That's where you need to go. Well, now in 1 Samuel chapter number 27, David is passing over. He's passing across the line of Judah. He's going into Philistine territory. He's going where he should not go. And in his haste, he finds him now, in his haste of saying, boy, I don't know what to do, and how am I going to live, and how am I going to go through this? In his haste, he finds himself now living with the Philistines. Now, the last time that he was with the Philistines, if you remember, as we've studied here, 1 Samuel, they counted David as an enemy. And David will only escape the Philistines by creating or acting like he's mad, like he's insane. Remember, the spittle's falling on his beard. He's scrabbling on the walls, the Bible tells us that way, on the doors there. And so he's acting like an insane person. And it's almost like Achish at that time says, I got enough crazies around here. I don't need another one. Get this guy out of my place. There. And so they send David away there. But it is only the working of God. It is only the working hand, the help of God that does this. Now David again will come to the Philistines, and this time he's not accepted as an enemy. He's not looked at as an enemy. Matter of fact, he's almost looked at as a friend. Now the Bible doesn't tell us exactly how all this goes down. The Bible doesn't realize that or show that to us here. Evidently, David is being brought in as somebody who's hating Israel now. Probably Achish, probably the king of the Philistines, has been aware of the fact that David has been running from Saul. And so that kind of has a way of wearing on you a little bit when you're running for your life all the time. And so that was probably going on with David. And so they think, David, boy, he's probably had enough of Israel. Boy, the king of Israel is trying to kill him. The people of Israel don't want him. And so now David is coming over to the enemy. And so, hey, the king of the Philistines see this. Boy, this is a great opportunity. Man, we can get this giant killer to not be against us, he can be for us. And so probably the king Achish here, the king of the Philistines, is accepting him this way and this idea that saying, hey, maybe we can use David to be our help against the Israelite army. And maybe we can defeat the Israelites once and for all because we've got David on our side. But I wanted to say here loud and clear, David's in the wrong place. Instead of separating from the Philistines, instead of realizing they're the enemies of God and saying, I'm not going to be with them, David joins with the Philistines. Can I say this? There are certain places a Christian ought not to be. Many years ago, I was passing out flyers for our sunrise service. We have a big sunrise service, if you don't know, at Easter time, and the Lord's enabled us last 5 years or so that we've been able to have at the dam down at Lake Murray. But before that, we had it at Walmart for several years, and this is one of the years that we were having it at Walmart, so it was several years ago, and I was passing out flyers. I had a whole stack of flyers, and I was just going around to businesses and asking them to post the flyer in their window just so that people, as they're coming to the business, would see, boy, there's something going on at Walmart, this sunrise service and everything like that. And so I was just trying to advertise that way. And I went to a strip mall or a strip of stores that were there, and I began to pass out these flyers at the strip of stores. And I started at one end, and I was just going to work my way to the other end. And I don't know, there was maybe 10 stores here in this strip of stores that way. And just so you know, for the story's sake, the names of the businesses that I was going on was up at the top. You know, they have the top, you know, the pawn shop and the electronic shop and whatever, okay, the sub shop and things like that. And so it's all at the top there. And so you can't really see it when you're right under the sign. You don't see there. And most of the businesses did not have on their door what the business was. And so I was just going down, you know, I go to the pawn shop that was on the corner. I remember the pawn shop. And I went in there and said, hey, can I put this flyer up? You know, we're having a sunrise service. He's like, yeah, sure. Go ahead and put it up in the window. Okay, hey, man, that's great. I appreciate you doing it. I tape it up on the window there. And then I go to the next store there and whatever that was, I don't know, it was the electronic shop or the sub shop or whatever it was. I can't remember. I think there might've been a daycare there or whatever. There are all kinds of things that were there. But I came to the last shop, and again, I was just going shop to shop to shop and just kind of in my groove of doing things. And I walked in, and as soon as I walked in, I said, I don't think I ought to be here. And I walked into a bar. And it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I said, boy, it's kind of dark in here. You know, what's going on here? But I had walked in already. And I had my flyers in hand, and I had my tape and other thing. You know, I was getting ready to tape things up, and the guy there behind the bar says, hey, can I help you? And I'm thinking, I don't know if you can help me. And I said, well, I'm here. So I went up to the bar, and I said, hey, I'm from the Sunrise Service that we're doing over here at Walmart, and I was wondering if we could maybe put a sign up on your counter, and I don't want it to be advertised there. We're doing that, but I was wondering if I could leave a sign here just letting people know about the Sunrise Service, you know, the church service we're having over there at Walmart. And that guy looked at me like I was from Pluto. He's like, really? I said, yeah, you know, we're just trying to let people know I was right here in the strip mall, and I'm here. And so I just asked if you could put this somewhere in the store here and see if you hold it up. He's like, well, I'll check with my manager. I said, okay, great, thanks. But I left. And, you know, I was out of there. Good. You know, I just felt very uncomfortable in a bar. There's certain places Christians ought not to be. Certain places that Christians ought not to frequent, that they ought not to go there. We're supposed to be separate from the world, not part of the world. Hold your place here in 1 Samuel. Chapter number 27. Turn over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Page 1234. 1234, 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Notice verse 17. The Bible says this in verse number 17. Wherefore, look at this, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. If you look at the context here in 2 Corinthians, what are we or who are we supposed to separate from? How are we supposed to come out from among whom? Well, if you see verse number 14, it says here, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, people that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We're not supposed to be linked up. We're not supposed to be with these people. We're supposed to be separated from these people. And can I say, there's a dividing line. There's a group of people that we ought not to be around. And the world or the unbelievers is that group of people. That we ought not to be linking ourselves up with them. Why was I uncomfortable to go into the bar? Because who frequents bars? Well, it sure ought not to be Christians. Sure, ought not to be God's people that are going there. See, salvation, God says, is a dividing line. Salvation is something that says, hey, you ought not to be with those people. See, God looks at everybody as on one of two places. You are either the condemned or you are the not condemned. You are the saved or you're the unsaved. See, God looks at everybody that way. Turn over to 1 John chapter number 3. I'm sorry, not 1 John, John. John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 3. Page 1118. 1118, John chapter number 3. And look what the Bible says here. In John chapter number 3, in verse number 18, page 1118, says this, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. God says here very clearly that there's two groups of people in the world. There are those who are condemned and those who are not condemned. And what is the difference between the condemned and the not condemned? Well, it says he that believes on him. If you believe on him, he says you're not condemned. You're part of the not condemned people. But if you don't believe on him, then you're part of the condemned. You're already condemned, the Bible says. So we have to ask the question, who's him? Who's him? Well, if you're familiar at all with John chapter number 3, you know John chapter number 3, verse 16. Verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So verse 16 tells us if we would believe on the Son, God's Son, Jesus Christ, that's who we're talking about. If we would believe on him, the Bible says we will not perish. We will not be, in the words of verse number 18, we will not be condemned. We will not be like those people who are going to be perishing or going to hell for all of eternity. We'll be part of the not condemned. We'll have an eternal life up in heaven. Look at verse 17. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world," but here it is, "that God," or that Jesus, "that the world through him," Jesus, "might be saved." So why did God send Jesus in the world? To take those who were already condemned. Jesus didn't have to come to condemn anybody. You're already there. But he took those who were already condemned, and he wants to bring them over into the place of the not condemned. Isn't that where he wants to bring us? And so the whole question is, will you believe? Will you trust what Jesus Christ has done for you and bring you out of condemnation into life, into eternal life? Well, believe what? What did he do for us? Well, he died on the cross. Look back on verse number 14 here in John 3. John 3 and verse number 14, where the Bible says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And so Jesus is here speaking to a man by the name of Nicodemus, and he's giving him an illustration. He says, "Hey, don't you remember the Old Testament story where Moses had to take that serpent? He made a brazen serpent. He put it up on a pole. He lifted it up in the middle of the camp. And those people in the camp who were bitten by the serpent, they could look to that serpent that was up there on the pole in the middle of camp, and they could be saved. They could live. If they don't look to the pole, they'll die. Don't you remember the story, Nicodemus?" Nicodemus certainly remembered the story, and he says, "Well, here's the application of the story. Just like Moses had to do that in the wilderness, the Son of Man." He's referring to himself. That's Jesus' favorite title for himself. You find it in the Gospels many, many times. He calls himself the Son of Man. The Son of Man must be lifted up. That is, he's got to be put up on the pole. And my friend, Jesus was put on the pole on the cross of Calvary some 2,000 years ago. He was lifted up. Why? Because if we would look to him, if we would believe on him, if we would trust him, trust what? That he was dying for us. Jesus never died for anything that he did. He died for what we did, right? He died for all the lies that I ever told. He told for other things that I stole, that I shouldn't have taken that way. He died for all the angry outbursts that I ever gave. He died for all of those things. Never died for his sins. He died for my sins. And if I would believe on him, if I would trust what he did for me on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago, God says, not me, but God says he'll take me out of the condemned category and it'll put me in the not condemned category. That's a better category to be in. That's the greatest category to be in. Man, I know I'm going to heaven, not because of what I did, but because of what Jesus did for me on the cross of Calvary, that he died for my sins. And just thinking about this, I need to be separate from the world. Be separate from those condemned people. Look at verse number 19 here in this passage, verse number 19. It goes on. Verse 18 talks about the condemned and the not condemned. And then look at verse number 19. This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. That's Jesus. Jesus is light that came to the world. And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. I wonder why it is when I went into that bar that it was dark. Could it be because men love darkness rather than light? I want to be with Christ. He's the light of the world. He came to give light to all men, right? That's who he is. And so I want to stay away from the darkness, and I want to be with the light. Because that's where Jesus is. I want to be with him. My friend, do you realize that we're called as a people to be separate from the unsaved? Now, I understand. We want to witness. We've got visitation going on this week. And visitation, we're going to go to some houses of people that we don't know, and probably a lot of them will be part of the condemned. And we're going to knock on their door, and we're going to try to tell them how they can go from the condemned to be part of the not condemned. We're going to try to do that. We're going to try to share that with them, okay? But here's what I don't do. I don't hang around with the condemned. I don't say, hey, why don't we go out to eat and boy, let's go bowling tonight and let's go do this because why? They're part of the condemned. They're not the people I want to hang around with. I want to witness to them. I want to share the truth of Christ with them. And I need to share the truth of Christ with them. And I'm so glad somebody shared the truth of Christ with me when I was the condemned, that I might be part of the not condemned. And we need to do everything we can to share. But I don't hang around with them. They're not my best buddies. They're not my favorite people. Why? Because they're part of the condemned. They're part of the lost ones. And I know some people are going to say something like this. Well, Pastor, I find more acceptance with people in the bars and people in the clubs than other people. You know, they don't care how I live, and they don't jump all over me that I do this and that and the other thing. You know what? That's my point. They don't care. You know what God's people? You know what God does? God cares. 1 Peter chapter number 5 would tell us, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And sometimes, can I say this, when I get around God's people, I may get hurt a little bit. And I get hurt a little bit because they're reproving, or we'd say it in this way, they're exhorting me to live right. And when I don't want to live right, boy, it hurts. And so when I don't want to live right, sometimes I find more fellowship with the people who aren't living right, who are part of the darkness rather than the light. But God's telling me, be separated from that. Look at a couple verses, and we've got to move on. Look at Psalm chapter number 1. Psalm chapter number 1 and verse number 1. Psalm chapter number 1 and verse number 1. Psalm chapter number 1 and verse number 1, page 599. I'm sorry, 599. The Bible says this, blessed is the man, now look at this, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Sounds like separation to me. What's he saying? Don't walk with the ungodly. He says, don't stand with the sinners, and don't sit with the scornful. Don't be with those people. There's a group of people that you ought not to be hanging around with. Those are the worldly people. Those are the ungodly people. Those are the condemned people. Don't be with them. Look at Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter 4, the very next book in our Bible, Proverbs chapter number 4, and look at verse number 14. Proverbs 4 and verse number 14, page 674, look at Proverbs 4 and verse number 14. The Bible says this, enter not into the path of the wicked. Don't go to their way. Don't go to the path of the wicked, it says here, and go not in the way of evil men. Sounds like God's telling me that I shouldn't be hanging around people who are part of the wicked, the ungodly. That ought not to be my friends. That ought not to be the people I'm hanging around. That I ought to be separated from them. 1 Corinthians would tell me in chapter number 15 and verse number 33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That is, don't be fooled that if you hang around with the ungodly, you're going to be like the ungodly. You're going to do the things the ungodly does. No. God would have us to be different. God would have us to be separated. God would have us to be holy as God is holy. See, that's what we're told. We're supposed to be separated from the world. Now understand this. If we fail to separate from the world, it will cost us. It's going to cost us a lot. Now come back to 1 Samuel chapter number 27, and I want you to see David here. I want you to see, what did it cost David? David failed to separate from the world. He goes to the enemy. He goes to the enemy of God. He goes to those idol worshipers, the Philistines. And what does he do? He gets in a situation that's going to cost him much. It's going to cost him much. Look at the first thing. It cost David his testimony. It cost David his testimony. You hang around with the ungodly. You don't separate from the ungodly. And here it is. Number one, it's going to cost you your testimony. It's going to cost you your testimony. Look at David here, 1 Samuel chapter number 27. And I want you to see in verse number 2 again. Verse 2, David arose and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maoch, king of Gath. All right, he goes with who? The 600 men, the Bible says. If you've been with our study of David, you realize that David had 400 men. That swelled to 600 men. A little bit later, he's got these men that are going with him and are being led by David that way. And so now as he goes into Philistine country, he's taken 600 men with him. But not only just 600 men, look at verse 3. David dwelt with Achish at Gath, and he and his men, every man with his household. Not only do we have the men, who else do we have? Their wives, their kids. Those people are coming. And so with David, not only do we have 600 men, but we have the women and children along with it, probably 1,000 people. Maybe some commentators think as many as 2,000 people that David is leading here into Philistine country. Let me ask you, what do you think they're thinking? You know, Romans chapter number 14 and verse number 7 tells us, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. That is, we affect other people. And David right now is affecting 1,000, maybe as many as 2,000 people. And where they would really be a part in their life, they'd say, you know, I think the Philistines are bad people. I don't think we should be hanging around those Philistines. You know, they worship Dagon, and you know, they're the enemies of God. They had that big, bad giant Goliath there, and boy, David took him down and everything. Now we're going to the Philistine country? I can almost imagine the chatter that is going around these the people as they're marching towards Philistine country. Why are we going this way? Man, this just seems like the enemy way. Somebody else might pipe up and say, well, you know, I thought so too, but David's telling us, let's go this way. David's saying, this is okay. My friend, you know what I'm finding with David here? David's becoming a stumbling block to 1,000, maybe 2,000 people. He's getting them to reason in their hearts, this is okay. It's not a bad thing. My friend, don't become a stumbling block to others. See, the Bible would teach us this. Go back to Romans 14. I just quoted a verse, but I want you to see another verse in Romans 14. Hold your place in 1 Samuel 27. We'll come back right back there. But look in Romans chapter number 14. Look at verse 13. Romans chapter number 14 and verse number 13. Page 1208, Romans 14, verse number 13 says this. Let us therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. You know, I'm just tired a little bit of Christians who are stumbling blocks to other Christians. You say, what do you mean? What do you mean by that? I find Christians all the time today say something like, well, it's not so bad. You know, you can do that. You can get away with that. When I was in college, this was kind of the mantra of some of the guys. I didn't hang around with those guys, but the mantra of some of the guys was, just take the D's. What did that mean? Just take the demerits. It's no problem. You can break the rules and it won't harm you. It won't hurt you. There's no big deal to that. That's the way of the world. The way the world says, I don't have to listen to God. way of the world says, I don't have to pay attention. Those things that are the goody two shoe, who cares? There's no betterment for that. That's not a good thing. Man, I just do my own thing and I do whatever I want to do. Man, where are the Christians who's going to stand up and say, God said it. God said it. God said it. Therefore, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go that way. I'm not going to do those things. I'm going to separate. I'm going to be different than the world. Hey, the world, hey, they can go there any way that they want to. That's fine. And it would seem like God's letting them go that way. That's okay. But look at, wait, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm different. I'm not going to go that way. And I don't need Christians to make a stumbling block to say, oh, man, it's okay to drink a little bit of that. It's okay to sit there. It's okay to go with those people. It's okay to watch those things. It's okay to... No, no, no. I'm just saying that we ought to be different. And we need some Christians to stand up, not to be the stumbling block to others. We need some Christians to stand up and say, no, 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 go away from there. Don't go that way. Where do we have some Christians like that today? David was a stumbling block to these people, to his men, to their families that came. He encouraged them to do that which is wrong. Come back to 1 Samuel chapter number 27. I see not only that he was a testimony, or he lost his testimony with his men and their families. How about this? Number two, it cost him his testimony with Saul. Look at verse 4, 1 Samuel chapter 27, and verse 4. It was told Saul that David was fled to Gath. What do you think Saul's thinking? David's in Gath? Are you sure? I mean, we're talking about David. We're talking about the same David here, right? You mean David's in Gath? David's in Philistine country? Do you remember that Saul had just admitted in the previous chapter, Saul admitted, David, you're much better than I. Is he? What's he think Saul's, what's going through his mind? David's no better than I am. David's hanging out with those idol worshipers. You know, it's one thing me, boy, I was rejected by God. I understand that. And, you know, I didn't obey God and everything. But I'm not with those idol worshipers. Saul very well could be justified in what he's doing, what he's thinking, because of what David does. Now, I don't know this. I'm just supposing. Can I do that for just a second? This is not thus saith the Lord. And if I'm wrong, when we get to heaven and God says, boy, you were way out in left field, so be it, okay? I'm fine with that. But I wonder if chapter number 27 has any bearing on chapter number 28 that follows. He said, what do you mean? Chapter number 27, David goes with the Philistines. Chapter number 28, Saul goes to the witch of Endor. He tries to call up Samuel. I don't know, and I'm just supposing. It's totally a guess. I don't have any idea about it. But I wonder if David, his actions here, don't somehow play into Saul's thinking that he would go into the witch of Endor. You say, why do you say that? I say because we read the first two verses of chapter number 28. The first two verses of chapter number 28 tell us some more about David, and David's teaming up and really going to be the head of Achish. And then right after that, we find Saul's going to the witch of Endor. I'm just wondering, when you do something, are you encouraging others to do right? Are you discouraging? What are you doing? See, it cost him his testimony with the men and his family. It cost him his testimony with Saul. I think number three there, it cost him his testimony with the Philistines. David, before this, he's known for something. He's a giant killer. He's the Goliath killer. He's the enemy of the Philistines. That's how he's seen. He's not seen like that in chapter number 27. So much so that in chapter number 28, the end of verse number 2, Achish says, I want you to be my bodyguard. I want you to be the keeper of my head. I want you to be with me by my side. Not known as a giant killer any longer. Why? Because he failed to separate. He lost his testimony. So much so, lost his testimony. Look at verse number 5 in chapter number 27. Verse 5. David said unto Achish, I almost cringe when I read this verse. David said unto Achish, if I have now found grace in thine eyes. Who's he talking to? The king of the Philistines. Oh, dear Achish. Dear Achish, if I, your humble servant, have found grace in your eyes. What? What are you saying? This is the enemy of God. Man, you ought not say, if I found grace in your eyes. You ought to find, hey, I got a sword for you. Here, I want you to just chomp on this for a little bit. You know, I'm thinking that's what he ought to say there. What? He's saying, oh, I hope that I haven't made you mad, Achish. Oh, I hope that I haven't done. Man, let's make ungodly people upset. And I'm not saying that we ought to go and, you know, take our sword and chop people's head off. I'm not saying anything like that, okay? I am just saying like this, that we don't water down the truth to be able to reach people. We don't try to make friends with them just so that we can team up with them. No. That ought not to be there. We're supposed to be far from that. Look what David said to the Philistine in chapter 17. This is what should be coming out of his mouth. Look at verse 17, or chapter 17. He's talking to Goliath here. Look at verse 45. 1 Samuel 17 and verse number 45. It says this. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will I deliver thee into mine hand, and I will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. Does that sound a little different than, I hope I found grace in your sight? Man, it's like night and day. There's two totally different people. You know, where did David go? We got this shadow of a David that's limping. I mean, that's who we got. He lost his testimony. And can I say this? There's a lot of people in the world that are watching us right now. They're watching us and saying, what is he going to do? How's he going to react? What's going to go on with him? And can I tell you, we've been called to be watchmen for their lives. Look in Ezekiel chapter number 3, page 843. Ezekiel chapter number 3, look at verse 17. Ezekiel chapter number 3 and verse 17. And look what God says to Ezekiel here, page 843. It says this, son of man, verse 17. Son of man, I made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord at my my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Look at verse 19. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turned not from his wickedness, nor for his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. What is God telling us? Well, God's saying there's a bunch of people over here who's condemned. They're part of the condemned. And here it is, Ezekiel. You got a responsibility. You got a responsibility to warn them, not team up with them. I'm warning them. Hey, guys, look out. A judgment is coming. God is going to judge you. Believe on Jesus Christ, because if you don't, you are part of the condemned and you will die condemned. And God says, if you fail to warn them, can I say that we got all kinds of Christians today who are teaming up, who are real friendly with the ungodly, with the condemned that way, and they're failing to warn the condemned. They're failing to tell the condemned. God says, I'm going to require their blood at your hand. Their blood is on your hands. Hey, if we want to be a watchman, if we want to be the one who's warning them, we don't team up with them. We tell them the truth. You're about to die and go to hell. You need the Savior. You need the way of Jesus Christ. But we need to tell them that. I look at David here. We can come back to 1 Samuel chapter number 27. I look at first thing. It cost David his testimony. Hey, if you're going to team up with the Philistines, it's going to cost you your testimony. How about secondly, it's going to cost him his peace. It's going to cost him his peace. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, in verse number 5, come back to it, 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 5, David said unto Achish, if I have now found grace in thy eyes, he says this, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there, for why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? All right, so he says, hey, Achish, you know, you're a great guy and all, but, you know, if I could get my own city, if I could get my own place, would that be okay? Now, understandably, we know why David's doing this. Because while David has gone with the Philistines, David's heart is still for Israel. We understand that. He's done wrong actions here. He's not separating. He should have separated. But his heart is still for Israel. He's just trying to hide out in Philistine territory. That's what's going on here. But and his heart is there, and he's thinking, if I go away from the king of Gath here, if I go away from Achish, maybe I can do some attacks and he won't be aware of it. Maybe I can kill some Philistines and he won't know anything about it. So he's phrasing it here to say, well, you know, maybe I could just get my own place. Now, from Achish's viewpoint, that somewhat makes sense. Bible times, we didn't have huge metropolises. And David is bringing in 1,000, maybe as many as 2,000 people into the city of Gath. That's a huge load on one city. And so maybe it makes sense to the king of Gath to say, hey, you know, if I could get these guys out of this town, that might be good. They're a drain on our services that we're holding here in Gath and the things that we got going on here in Gath. And, you know, sanitation's a problem with 2,000 more people and food's a problem with 2,000 more people and all these things. And so he says, maybe I could just ship them off to another place and maybe that would be good. He's got complete confidence in David. David sold himself to the king of Gath, that's what he's thinking. And so he says, I'll tell you what, I'll give you Ziklag. Why don't you go to Ziklag and go there, and David will take him and his men over to Ziklag, a city that was originally part of the inheritance of Judah. 2 Chronicles chapter number 4 tells us that it will be turned over to 1 Chronicles 4 would tell us that it's going to be turned over to Simeon. But evidently, the city is never inhabited by Israelites. And now it's in Philistine country. And so he says, go ahead, go over to Ziklag, and you just have that city. And David will base out of Ziklag for some time after this because Achish gives it to him. But I want you to see this. While David is operating from Ziklag, he's scared to death. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, and David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Gezerites and the Amalekites, for those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. All right, so verse 8 and 9 tells us this. He goes and attacks three cities. Now, by the way, this is just a sidelight here. These are three cities that God had earlier condemned. All right, David's not just walking out and saying, boy, who can I go kill? He's choosing three cities of which God had already said these people should die, and God's already pronounced judgment on these. So anyways, he goes to these three cities. He kills who? Everyone. Man, women, children. He kills everyone. Why? Because he knows this. If somebody escapes, I'm dead meat. If somebody gets away, Achish is going to find out that I didn't go attack Israelite cities, that I went and attacked Philistine cities. And Achish is going to hear about that. And so he's scared to death that way. And look at verse number 11, brings that out. Verse 11, David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will his manner be all the while that he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. So David is concerned. David's worried about somebody getting away and that blowing his cover of which he has now in Ziklag. And he's concerned about that. Can I say this? Just application. When you don't live a separated life, you'll never have peace. You'll never have peace. What do you mean, Pastor? There's no peace in living with the enemy. There's no peace. Because of time, we won't turn there, but Isaiah 48 and verse number 22 says, there is no peace, saith the Lord unto the wicked. John 14 and verse number 27 says, Jesus speaking, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. The world plays like they can give you peace. The world plays like, hey, this could be fun and you can enjoy this. But I'm just saying, there's no peace with the world. You want to know peace? You want to know real peace? You get on God's side. That's where peace is found. David could have slept like a baby trusting God, no matter if Saul was trying to hunt him down or not. But now he's over with living with the enemy. And what's he doing? Oh, you better get that. Don't let that guy get away. Man, if he gets away, well, we're done for. Go get him. He has no peace. My friend, if you've got just an inkling, if you've just got a small amount, you're a Christian, you know Christ is your Savior, but you're living with the enemy. If you just got a small amount of spiritual understanding, can I say this? You ought to fear God's chastening hand. Living with the world, God doesn't want that. Hebrews 12 would tell us in verse number 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. I'm just saying, you're going to dwell with the world. You're going to hang out with the world. You're going to be with those people. You're not going to separate from them. Hey, can I tell you just this, that God will chasten you, and that ought to concern you. That ought to worry you. That ought to take your peace away, any peace that you might have had. You read the scriptures, and God disciplines in a variety of ways. Sometimes he causes the crops to fail. Today we call it a financial failure. Sometimes he causes sickness. Sometimes he causes death. You ought to be concerned. As many years ago now, and I can remember that a small child here in our church died. And I can remember that father saying, is this the chastening of God? Is this the chastening of God? I don't know if it was, but knowing what I knew about that father, it very well may have been. I'm just saying, you ought to be concerned. You don't have peace living with the world. Peace is found with God. Oh, David failed to separate. It cost him his testimony. It cost him his peace. Let me give you one last thing and we're done. It cost him trouble. It cost him trouble. First two verses of chapter number 28. Verse 1, chapter number 28. It came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, know thou surely that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. Now we understand David's got his heart still for Israel. He's attacking Philistine cities. He's trying to help out the Israelites in any way he can. I understand all of that. But now Achish says, hey, David, you've been such a good servant. David, you've given me the reports of what you're doing. He was lying. He was saying I was going to attack the Philistines, but he wasn't doing that. I was attacking cities of Israel, but he wasn't doing that. He was lying. And so Achish says, hey, you've been so good. That's it. I'm going against Israel. Boy, I'm going to hit them head on, and you're by my side, buddy. What do you think David's thinking? Yeah, this is a good idea. I mean, David, boy, he's in a heap of trouble. What's he going to do now? Look at verse 2. David says to Achish, Surely thou shalt know what thy servant could do. You know about me, and this is going to be good. Boy, and you almost see the sweat begin to form on his brow as this conversation is going on. And Achish said to David, therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. You're right. I know what you could do. And because of that, you're my bodyguard. This is good. David goes from a bad place to a worse place very quickly. Boy, you're going to come with me to battle. Oh, that's not so good. Matter of fact, you're going to be my bodyguard. Oh, that's really not good. Why does all that happen? Because David failed to separate. David puts himself in a position that guarantees trouble. My friend, the way of the world is trouble. Remember what we said as we began? The world, lack of separation, sin will cost you much. It'll keep you longer than you wanted to stay. It'll take you further than you wanted to go. That's what sin will do. And David is finding that out firsthand. Can I say? I hope you don't. I hope you don't. Countless believers could stand and give testimony that their lack of separation did nothing but cause them problems. It might cause problems with your children. It might cause problems with your spouse. Sometimes it'll cause problems with your church. Sometimes it'll cause problems with you financially. Sometimes it'll cause job problems. Sometimes it'll cause a host of other problems. But I'm just saying, watch out, because you don't separate, it's going to cause problems. It'll cause problems. Better watch out who you're with. It may seem like a good time. It may seem like that's the safe thing to do. It may seem, boy, they accept me and they like me for who I am. Although you may go through a host of things in your mind. I'm just saying, watch out. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost your testimony. It's going to cost your peace. It's going to cost you trouble. Watch out. Watch out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we look here at the person of David. Lord, we see a